Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, a real Italian-American podcast, and I am your host, Frankie D. And today my guest is Carlo Vanilla, who wears many hats in the Italian community here in Chicago, but today we're going to specifically talk about the Festa della Repubblica that he organizes every year. Carlo, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Frank. Thanks for having me here today.
Absolutely. And first of all, let's talk about your background. Where are you from originally in Italy?
I'm from a town called Alcamo, which is in the province of Trapani in Sicily. And my mother's from a town called Chinese, which is in the province of Palermo. And we came here, we immigrated to the United States in 1960. I was 4 years old at the time.
1960, okay.
Yeah. Okay. And we settled in the Taylor Street area in Little Italy, you know, near downtown.
Now, did you have relatives there or paisans? And that's the reason you guys went to Taylor Street? Is that how you ended up?
Yeah, my mother's sister lived on in the Taylor Street area, so actually that's where we ended up, the same neighborhood.
Okay, okay. And what are your memories of Taylor Street, growing up in Taylor Street? Was that a good thing?
You know, Taylor Street was... You know, we realized that we immigrated to the United States after we moved out of Taylor Street, because when you come from Italy and you go into a neighborhood where everybody speaks Italian and all the stores are Italian, you really notice that you had left Italy.
Wow. Okay. So in 1960, on Taylor Street, it was extremely Italian, extremely ethnically Italian, meaning you heard the Italian language.
Oh, yeah, the Italian language was spoken everywhere, in all the stores, the churches, even in the school. Every couple of months, you had new arrivals from Italy coming.
Really?
So, yeah. So, you felt like you were still in Italy. I mean, you didn't have to speak English if you didn't want to.
Wow, that's great. Did you go to Pompey's school?
Yeah, we went to, when we came from Italy, I went to Andrew Jackson Public School, which is the same area, just a couple of blocks away.
I believe that is a, I think that's a language academy now, if I'm not mistaken. That's like a very highly sought after school.
It's the Galileo Institute, it's called now.
Okay.
But at the time, it was Andrew Jackson Elementary School. And, you know, reading up on it, I didn't even know, because when we moved, it was already kind of changed the student background. But it was like one of the largest Italian population school kids back in the 40s and stuff. It was like over 1,200 Italian students.
Wow. Okay. And I have a question, too, I'm just thinking of. 1960, okay, you're a young boy, but the campus of the University of Illinois Chicago, was it there when you guys came from Italy, or was that built after?
No.
Because wasn't it right around the 60s, the beginning?
Yeah, it was right. What happened is, I was kind of young at the time, but I do remember the area of Taylor and Halston.
Okay.
And that area there of Taylor and Halston was considered the Italian downtown.
Really?
Yeah, it was considered.
Wow.
Of all the Italian neighborhoods, not just the Taylor Street. Because the bigger Italian stores and banks and whatever, they were all in that area. As a matter of fact, a lot of people know, but the Banco di Napoli was located on Taylor and Halston.
Was it?
Banco di Napoli. Okay. So you had a lot of, you know, the bigger Italian stores were in that area there. But the neighborhood started being destroyed, not by the university, first by the building of the Dan Ryan Expressway.
Okay.
The Dan Ryan Expressway, that's where it kind of started, because the original Taylor Street area was on that area there. It was east of Halston.
Okay.
The original, back in the turn of the century. And the first Italian parish in the area was there, which was Holy Guardian Angels.
Okay.
Holy Guardian Angels one time had the largest Italian Sunday school in the whole United States.
Wow.
And so Our Lady of Pompeii was an extension, really, of Holy Guardian Angels.
Okay.
You know, because it was just so overpopulated with Italian kids. And then they opened up about 1911, they opened up Our Lady of Pompeii.
Okay.
You know, so then came the university and destroyed the other parts. And, you know, so little by little, it was being destroyed. The neighborhood.
That's very sad. Very sad. Okay. Tell me, if we'll stay with your personal life. So you ended up marrying a girl from your town in Sicily?
Yeah, believe it or not, growing up here in the United States, I got to say that, Italy never left my heart. Let's put it this way.
Okay.
Even though I came here and I was 4 years old, my father came as an adult. My sister was older than me. My mother is an adult. I think I was the most Italianized in my family, even more than my father, who never even learned the language, you could say, in another language, you know. So I don't know what it is about me that I just, I never forgot Italy. It's always close to my heart.
And you were able to return to Italy in summers?
Yeah. Once, you know, after, the first time I returned, it was like after about 12 years, I was 16 years old.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I just fell in love with Italy. Once I went back to Italy, I had forgotten about it. I was 4 years old, and I just fell in love with it. I didn't even want to come back.
Wow. Okay.
And that's, as a matter of fact, that's when I met my wife.
You know, when you were 16.
Yeah. Okay. But then, you know, we started corresponding here and there, and then we lost track. And, you know, then when time came, that I was going to get married, I took a trip back. She was still single. I was single.
Perfect. Was beautiful. Sister. Beautiful. That's great. That's great. Okay. I had said earlier you wear many hats in the Italian community, which you do. Briefly, let's just talk about some of the positions you hold with these different various organizations. Well, for example,
I'm the president of the Santa Fada di Chinese Club, which is a religious and social organization from the town of Chinese.
Which you said that's where your mother is from.
My mother's from.
Okay, and where is the club located?
It's located on Addison Street, I think it's 7524 West Addison in Chicago.
Okay, and you have a clubhouse. You actually have a building.
Yeah, we have a building.
That's great.
And a chapel in there.
Oh, wonderful.
All different events, social events, religious events. We just got done with our spring party, which was about a month ago. It was successful. And
how many, more or less, how many members do you think you have?
About 60 families.
60 families, okay.
But like anything else, you know, all the other clubs, we're losing membership because the young don't seem to want to get involved.
And also probably because people are not coming to Chicago from Chinese anymore.
Oh, yeah,
so
well, that's
you have no new blood. And who's been here maybe for generations and generations maybe don't have as much interest in this type of thing.
Yeah, that's you know, it's not a problem. We just have, that's a problem
with
all
everyone
over the United
yes.
States.
Yes.
I've gone to conferences all over the United States, and they all have the exact same problem.
Yeah. Okay. Now tell me, you're also involved with ARSA, which is?
ARSA is, stands for Associazione Regionale Siciliana in America, and it's an umbrella organization of where all the Sicilian clubs are part of.
Okay.
So, and I'm the vice president of ARSA, which our goal is to just promote the Sicilian culture in the Chicago area.
Okay.
You know, with different events and whatever we could do, just, you know, basically to keep all the Sicilian clubs together
and
unified.
And, right. Okay. And then I understand you also are you're in comites, which you'll have to explain to us. What is comites?
Comites is stands for Comitato Italiani all'estero, which means Committee of Italians Living Abroad. It's
now this was, you were elected.
Yeah, this is an elected.
This is an actual group that is under the Italian government.
Basically, we are the most important Italian organization after the consulate office.
Wow. Okay.
And we, you know, we were elected for a 5-year term.
And is this just Chicago, or is this like the Midwest of the United States, or even bigger? I don't know.
We're under the Chicago Consulate Office, which represents 11 states.
Okay. Okay. So basically, Comites represents the area that the consulate office.
Yeah.
Wow. That's big.
Yeah. 11 states, from, let's say, Illinois, basically west of here.
Okay.
Up to Colorado. North Dakota, I don't know how many Italians are in North Dakota.
Well, I'm sure there's somebody, but probably not many. Yes, yeah, exactly.
And yes, so what we do is, the committee's job is to explain to the council what the Italian community needs, what they want, their needs, their complaints. The only problem with the committee is, and I've discussed this with other committee members all over the United States, is that most of the Italian people never heard of us.
That's not good.
No, of course not.
Okay, so now, if I understand, wherever there is a general consulate office in the United States, there would be a comitas.
In the whole world.
In the whole world?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you've gone to conferences in the United States with other Comitas members throughout the United States, yes, correct? Mm-hmm. Wow, okay.
In Washington, where we had conferences, and the last one was in Miami, which was about a month ago.
Wow, okay.
And
it's not a bad destination, by the way.
Well, my only problem is that I got a fever when I got
there. Oh, so okay.
But it's very important that the people would really, really understand what the Comitas does.
Okay.
Like that, we could help out the community.
So Comitas is the liaison, fancy word for Frankie D, the liaison between the Italian people and the Italian consulate office on Michigan Avenue.
Yes.
Wow.
For example, last year we met with the president of the RAI, Italian Radio Television. And we had a meeting and basically asked for our input of what people want here, what they want to see.
Okay.
On the RAI. And you know, we gave them our input. Now, if they listen to us, we don't know, but we let them know what we think
that's good.
We need over here.
Wow, that's great. That's great. Okay, that's great. And you are something with CTIM, correct?
Yeah, the CTIM is Comitato per il Colore Italiano nel Mondo. It's an organization. It's a little, you could say, a little political. It's a political organization. It's a very patriotic Italian political organization.
Okay.
And I could say an Italian rep here in Chicago.
Chicago rep.
In this area here.
Wow.
Now we just try to promote the Italian.
I have a question. You're still married, right?
Yeah.
Of course you are. You would have not have any time to see your wife or to argue, so naturally you would have a chance to get divorced.
I know, that's why.
Wow, I said that you wear many hats in the Italian community, and you certainly do. Mm-hmm. That's, you're a busy guy with all this stuff.
What it goes to is my love for Italy.
You have a
My love for my fellow Italians, you know, all over the world, especially here in Chicago. Whatever I could do to help promote the Italian culture. I mean, that's my number one goal, is not to make our culture die in the Chicago area.
And that's great. That's great. Okay. Now that leads us to our topic of the show, the Festa della Repubblica that you have organized now for how many years?
I think we're going to the ninth year, eight or ninth year.
Eight or ninth year. Okay. So Festa della Repubblica. What is the Festa della Repubblica in general?
The Festa della Repubblica is the day that Italy, voted in a referendum in 1946 to become a republic, because after the fall of fascism, before the fall of fascism, it was a monarchy.
Okay.
So then after the war, there was the fall of fascism, so people had to decide whether they want. They want to keep the monarchy, they want to become a republic, or whatever. So there was a referendum, and the referendum that people wanted Italy to become a republic.
Okay, so in 46 they voted to become a republic, and this is what you celebrate.
Yeah, what we celebrate. It's a national holiday, naturally.
Okay.
It's a national holiday.
Is it the end of May? Is that when
it's June 2nd. Okay.
Okay, June 2nd. That's the actual day. Okay.
It's the actual day. As a matter of fact, I was just thinking the other day, one of the reasons that I know about the Festa della Repubblica was with my parents' anniversary. Even as a kid, they kept telling me that's our anniversary is on the Festa della Repubblica.
Oh, so it was June 2nd. Okay. Yeah,
so,
all right.
So I think maybe that's how I came.
That probably is. Okay.
But, yeah.
So what I'd like to know is, okay, so this is a major thing, obviously. Where did you get the idea to let's celebrate something here in Chicago for? How did this all come about?
When would
you have the time to even have any other thoughts besides the five clubs that you heard?
Here's the most important thing is that the Italian Consulate Office has always celebrated the Festa della Repubblica on June 2nd, on the exact
day. On the exact day, of course.
It could fall on whatever. And they usually have a reception downtown, at some museum, at some hotel. And it's by invitation only to the Italian community.
Right. Okay.
And me, like many other Italian people in the Chicago area, probably never got an invitation to it. Okay. Which made me question, am I less Italian than other people?
That's a good point.
And to me, it was kind of an insult, because I know that I care more about my culture more than a lot of people who've usually gotten these invitations. And it's not that I want to be invited, to understand me. It's not that I want to be invited, but I saw it as something that
should include more people.
Yeah, celebration like the Feast of the Bubligat should be a celebration of our whole community,
right?
Not just invited people. No, yeah.
Was it ever okay? So, was this ever celebrated beyond the Consul General's office?
Not that I know.
Probably not.
Not
right?
That I know of in Chicago.
Okay,
I never heard of it. But my idea that we are of doing the Feast of the Bubligat is that being that I'm. Like I said, I went to school at Our Lady of Pompeii, and I still go to church at the Shrine of Our Lady of Pompeii, which is now a shrine. It's not a parish, so...
You do not live in the area anymore, no, though, but you still go back to the church. Okay.
And you know, the shrine now depends on donations. That's how it operates.
Okay.
The diocese does not give it any money.
It does not give any money?
No, no. Anything that we do...
Is that because it's a shrine?
It's a shrine.
So you want to get the status of shrine... But yet it's kind of a double-edged sword because then the archdiocese is not supported on.
Well, it's not only that.
It cannot be knocked down, though, correct?
Yeah. The reason that the good thing about the shrine, that it became a shrine, is that because of they were going to close it down. The school, the church was going to be closed down.
Is that right?
And so the property sold. So, you know, a lot of people, some people in the Pentecostal community about 25 years ago got together to save it.
Okay, and okay.
And cleared it a shrine.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, thank God that we got it.
Absolutely.
We saved it.
I gotcha.
With that being said, the archdiocese goes, you know, you guys keep it, but it's, you know, you guys pay for the bills.
Absolutely. Okay. Okay.
So that's what we had to do.
So you thought that was the natural place to do it at?
Yeah, to celebrate, I decided to celebrate the Feast of the Bubligat because I wanted to get an, because we do a lot of events. There's a lot of events at Pompeii. We have our annual Feast of the Tutti Santi, you know, lots of events we have at Pompeii. But what I wanted to do is the Feast of the Bubligat, where trying to keep the Italian culture alive even at the church, okay? Because years ago I was reading, back in the 20s and 30s and the 40s, of all the different Italian churches that there were in the Chicago area, some of the like most important events in the Italian community were held at Pompeii. Like, you know, masses for certain politicians that had died in Italy, that passed away or whatever. They would have memorial masses at Pompeii.
At Pompeii Church, right.
So I'm going to try to bring back that Italianità back to the church. Okay.
And that is a logical place to do it. Because of all of Chicago, there's been tons of neighborhoods, but Taylor Street is obviously Taylor Street. Pompeii Church is Pompeii Church.
Yes. Well, we'll go back to the, you know, I'm not sure if you know, it used to be like about 12 or 10 parishes in Chicago area.
Is that many? Okay.
We'll call them 10 national parishes.
Oh, okay.
Taylor Street area was the largest Italian neighborhood.
Right.
Of all,
right? Exactly.
And it was one of the first. Okay. And it's centrally located.
Yes. No, it's a perfect spot for this event.
So,
yes.
You know, and it's still, you know, it's a lot smaller than it used to
but be. It still but it exists. Still exists. Right? It's still, there are still Italians there. There are still people that have lived there generations.
Yeah, because there's so many other neighbors that are completely gone.
Right.
They're not even around.
That's true.
Fine. Okay.
That's true.
So I figure it's, whatever little we still have on Taylor Street, let's preserve it and to celebrate the Feast of the Bubligat in an area that's been in the Italian neighborhood for about 130 years.
That's
the first immigrant settled in the 1870s.
Wow, that's a great idea. Okay.
You know, just even though the percentage of Italians has dwindled, but I feel like I want to show like the new residents there, the students, because a lot of college kids. I like for them to see that our presence is still there with a parade down the street.
Okay, so your intention was to have a mass and have a procession. That was what you wanted to do from the beginning.
Yeah, we have a parade down Taylor Street.
Okay.
We have our different banners, flags, the Sicilian Band of Chicago through the streets.
Oh, you have the band as well.
Yeah, we have the Sicilian Band of Chicago, yeah. And we go from the church to Garibaldi Park for a wreath laying ceremony with the Consul General, sometimes other dignitaries from all over really the world, because we had one senator, Mania, come to our event about 2 years ago.
And a senator from Italy.
Senator from Italy.
Oh, wow. And so, okay.
You know, then from once we do the reclaim ceremony, we turn back to the shrine. And depending if it's a nice day, we have a classic Italian auto show there with all this classic Italian cars.
Okay.
Display in front of the church.
Okay.
And then we have some refreshments and food for sale if people want to stick around and just have a sandwich.
Okay. Okay. And the mass is in Italian, in English, both?
Well, you know, we do, it's half and half. It's, some stuff are in English, some are in Italian, you know, because we got mostly, you know, Italians and Italian Americans. Some people don't understand. So, you know, Father Belmonte or Father Pergamini did do a good job of making everybody understand.
Okay, okay. So when is it this particular year? What date is it on?
This year it's May 28th on a Sunday.
So May 28th, 2017 on a Sunday, Pompey Church at, what time is Mass start?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock. I think Pompey Church is on Lexington?
It's 1224 West Lexington.
West Lexington. Okay. And have you gotten, okay, so this is maybe the ninth year. Have you getting a good response from the community, meaning people are coming out to this event?
Yeah, we have people, you know, it's satisfaction. We could always use more people. I mean,
sure.
The more the better. I mean,
right. You're not turning people away.
No, it's something that a lot of people... Our problem, what it is with that area there, is people are scared to come there because of the parking.
Although, and I agree with you on the surface, but every year I go, because of the park, I don't have a problem finding a spot on the street. Yeah. Free, mind you, no meter.
Well, we try to explain to people that even though it's its own parking, but on holidays, whenever we have events at the church, you could park anywhere, even though it's
like, and it's free.
Yeah, it's free.
Okay.
So, but one of the things is that that's always with anything inside the city.
It's
the people's parking.
Right.
They're afraid that they can't.
Do you think that maybe Italian Americans maybe don't really understand what the significance of this day is?
Well, I know for sure because
they
I know
do not.
Lots of Italian Americans have asked me, what is it? And I'm trying to explain. Let's put it this way. So to make a long story short, it's the Italian 4th of July.
Exactly. It's the Italian 4th of July, so it's a major deal.
Yeah. So, well, that was also one of the reasons that I did it, Frank, is to make Italian Americans understand our holidays, what they are. You know, people think that, I think Italian Americans think that Columbus Day is the national holiday in Italy, where Columbus Day is not even on the map in Italy.
Right.
This is an Italian holiday.
Exactly. And I think it is very important that Italian Americans are exposed to what is important about the country of Italy, which is where their forefathers came from. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Another question I was going to have. You're dealing with the city. You're getting permits. This is a very difficult process to, because this procession goes through many streets. They have to be blocked off.
It's not, we just got to get a permit. It's not a hard process. I mean, I would have thought it was going to be harder, but. You know, the city is very cooperative.
Okay.
What they just do is, you know, they have a couple of police cars and just block the streets until we pass by.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it's going smoothly.
Okay. Okay. So now, how are you paying for this? Because we got to get a permit. We got to pay the church. We got the band. We've got, there's probably 27 other expenses that I'm not even saying. How do you pay for all this this day?
I got to beg.
You beg?
I got to beg.
Beg, borrow, and steal.
Beg, borrow, and steal. Because
I mean, do you have some type of like advertising or something that you're trying to generate a little bit of money?
What I do is I try to come up with an ad book. This year we're doing it a little differently. I have an ad book, souvenir book, and we're charging $100 a page for any business or any sponsor who wants to put an ad. And it's also, like I said, it's not just an ad book. It's going to be a souvenir book because it'll be certain pictures of past events.
Oh. So it'll be something to keep.
Yeah, something to keep. As something that you can leave to your grandkids that years from now this used to be done.
Oh, absolutely. Done, that's beautiful. I mean, that's very nice.
Yeah, because I just like to I always keep all these different ed books from the different organizations.
Okay.
You know, when these things aren't around no more, you're gonna have some sort of.
God forbid that day comes, but it will.
Yeah.
So you're basically just trying to raise enough to pay for the permit, for everything.
Yeah.
Okay, and give a little donation to Pompey Church.
It's all to just pay for the expenses and whatever extra we get, we donate to the church. And so far, we've been able to donate some years, you know, 100, I mean, excuse me, 1,000, some years, 500. It all
depending upon how you end up. Okay. Well, you know what? This is, I tip my hat to you to take the initiative to do all this, doing it by yourself. It's a lot of work. It's a great event. And I hope that we get more people at it, more people involved, It's like you said, it's the Italian July 4th, for lack of a better explanation. It's very important, and it is the Festa della Repubblica 2017, May 28th, Sunday at 11 a.m. is the Mass at the Shrine of Our Lady of Pompeii, 1224 West Lexington Street in Chicago. A procession to follow, a wreath laying ceremony by the Garibaldi statue. Is that a Regal Park? Or?
It's actually
called Garibaldi Park. In Garibaldi Park. And then after, there will be a classic Italian auto show with food, beef sandwiches and whatnot. Just a real simple, to be honest with you, it's like an old school event.
Yeah, exactly.
I personally love it.
Exactly.
Yes.
Last thing I want to say, Frank,
yes.
I'm going to let the people know, don't wait for Italy to win the World Cup, so take to the streets to celebrate your Italian pride, because it's not going to guarantee that they're going to win the World Cup.
And they didn't even come close last time, you're probably right.
This is guaranteed.
No, this is guaranteed. That's a very good point.
That you can celebrate your Italian pride.
Yes, absolutely. And you're right. That's a very good explanation. So please try to make it. The nice thing is May 28th is Memorial Weekend, so the day after, everyone is off of work.
Exactly.
So this is a wonderful day to just come, have fun, be in the streets,
and
bring it back to the streets, old school.
And meet new people. Meet different new people from all over the city, people who share your interest in our culture.
Absolutely. And you know what I want to say to you? I want to say thank you from the community, from Italians, for doing all you do with the passion you have in your heart. We're fortunate and we're lucky to have someone like you in our community.
Thank you, Frank.
Carlo, thank you for today, for the interview, and I hope to see everyone out there on May 28th at Pompeii Church. Thank you.
Thank you.
And as we always do, we have some inspirational words to end the show. This is a real quick one. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. So as always, I say to everyone out there, have a great Italian-American day. Thank you.